Father, so much for this evening. Father, we're grateful, Lord God, for just the breath of life, Lord, that in all things, Lord, that we can come before you as your people, Lord, and we can call upon your name, Lord Jesus. And Lord, you answer our prayers, Father. You are quick, Lord God, to draw close to your people, Father, and help us in our time of need. And Lord, to give us direction and wisdom and guidance in everything that we do, think, and say as we look to you. So Lord God, right now, Father, we just commit this time to you, Father. We just commit this word to you, Lord God, as we would just open up scripture, Father, and as we would look to you, Father. We ask and pray that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit. Father, I acknowledge openly that the only good thing in me, Father, is your Holy Spirit. So to your Spirit, Lord, I yield right now with my free will. And Lord, I ask and pray that your Spirit would speak through this evening, Lord God, me, and have your way, Father. Lord, we pray, Lord God, Lord, that you would just bring light and shine your truth, Father, into our hearts, Lord. And teach us what you want us to know, Lord God. I just bind right now in Jesus' name every demonic spirit, and I cast it out, Father. And Lord, we also pray, Lord God, that, Lord, that you would just strengthen, Lord, your people right now at this time all around the world. Father, your body, Lord, strengthen them, Lord, to stand strong, Father, amidst all the things that are happening around the world, Lord, and that are coming. Father, strengthen us, Lord God, to shine bright, Lord, in this world, in these days. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Acts 26. Acts 26. Okay. So last week. All right. Yeah. We'll start with verse 14. Okay. Actually, verse 13. This is Paul before King Agrippa, giving his testimony about his own life experience and how God kind of got his attention. At midday, O king, I saw... verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Okay. Now, when we talked like the last time, we kind of began the series called The Great Divide. And ultimately, the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world, and the two kingdoms we've talked about too. Now, in the world, one thing that happens is you have, everybody's kind of, if you see it from the natural eyes, everybody's living in the same environment, in the same, you know, you have people going to a similar workplace or involved in different things. But on a spiritual level, people are in different places. And what happens when people go on from this life in this world is they go on from this life into the spiritual dimension, into actual reality of what things really are. So you have a surface reality, which is the dream world, and then you have the reality that's below that, which is on the level of soul and spirit, which is actually lined up also with your will for what the eternal state will be. Does that make sense? So like, so for example, you know, on a surface level, people, okay, that's what advertising is. Advertising is very, very surface. Advertising is very, it's all a facade, exactly. It's on a very, very surface, shallow level. But if you dig down below, you know, what it is that's really going on, you start finding out, okay, this is this is what this is about, this is what this product is, this is what these people are about. So it's like, you know, you have to dig a little bit deeper. The same thing with people, in that there's something in people where you have something that's on the surface level of how people want to be perceived, and then you have the actual real person that's below that. And that's why too, like many times with so many of these global celebrities and stuff, if you actually saw their spirit, these people that are, you know, they're perfect tens or whatever, but if you actually saw their spirit, they're absolutely grotesque, you know, because on a spirit level, they're hideous because they're detached from God, and every motive and everything that they're about is selfish, carnal, and that is the person that they really are. And the rest is just like plastic and patchmeal together. So, and you know, and airbrushed and all of that. But on a spiritual level, what happens, and what happened even with Paul, is that all are born under the power of darkness. So when everybody's born into this world, because of Adam, and because of what happened in the garden, and because of also the what God allowed. See, God allowed for what we're in right now. We have to understand that this is not an accident. God deliberately allowed for the world to be in the state it's in right now on purpose. Because, and this is part of the mystery of God, this is part of what you and I are living in and living through, is and there's some things that for sure that, you know, it's just like God will, it'll be made known in time, but right now we're in the middle of this whole thing. So but the things that we do know out of this mystery is that God allowed for his creation and man that he loved to be born in this dispensation at this time under the power of darkness, needing a savior, needing salvation, needing a redeemer, needing some way out. So we were born in this time already crippled, you know, and then what happens is people, when they're born into that, depending on the circumstance and the situation surrounding them, you know, all kinds of stuff happens. But there's a waking up point. For those that are the children of God, there's a point in time where the Spirit of God quickens them. The Spirit of God reaches out to them. The Spirit of God somehow arrests them. And that's the point where people make a free will decision and a choice. Do they choose to continue on in the kingdom of this world under the power of darkness, or do they choose to come into the light? And choose, and in coming into the light, what they have to do is they have to bow their knee also to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You have to be willing to come under the dominion of the King to enter into the kingdom of God. So if they're willing to do that as well, then they become, then, and they receive that gift that God's got for them, then they now become a subject in the kingdom of God. So you come out of the power of darkness into the power of light. So now Paul, when he's writing and he's kind of giving his own experience of what happened to him. See, before, when he was in the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of this world, remember, so many times, Proverbs 14, Proverbs 16, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Now, Paul, he believed honestly, he believed earnestly that he was doing the right thing, that he was serving God in his own mind, even. So he believed for himself, while he was under the power of darkness, that he himself was serving God. And it took God meeting him in a very powerful way and say, hey, why are you persecuting me? Now, if you believe that you were, I mean, it's like believing your whole life that a color is white and finding out it's actually black. You know, believing something that is, you know, believing that somebody is your natural dad, and then all of a sudden one day finding out, wait, that's not my natural dad. My natural dad is actually this guy over here. It's like, whoa, wait a second. That just puts a whole different spin on everything I ever believed or ever thought. Because when Paul meets the Lord and the Lord meets him on the road to Damascus, and God knocks him to the ground, he says, he says in the Hebrew tongue, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Also, the thing about the pricks is like something that they would do with when they would plow, they would put these things behind whatever, I can't remember the animals that they're using. The ox? Yeah. Oh, if it was the ox. But just when they would try to kick, yeah. Because sometimes what they'd do is they'd try to kick back. And so what they'd do is they'd put these pricks behind there. So when they kick, it hurt. And then after a while, it's just like, okay, they don't want to do that anymore because every time they try to kick, it hurts. And then, you know, later on you take that off. But basically, you know, I'm just telling Saul, hey, you're not going to win. You know, plus you're on the wrong side. And so, see, now Saul in his heart, he thought he was serving God, but then he found out that it wasn't. Now, when he found this out, what he did was falling in line with repentance, which is basically saying, oh, shoot, I screwed up. Lord, how do I get my life in line with you? And God showing him too, and God showing him, look, this is it. You know, and him making that free will decision and that choice to go with him. Now, there's a huge divide between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. And the problem that a lot of people face is that they've been told, and they've been by religion as well, that you can be in the world and of it, and you're okay. See, Jesus said, you know, you're in the world, but you're not of it. You know, but the religions of this world have told people that you can be in the world and you can be of it, and if you do this XYZ thing, then you're okay. So that's usually when you see people trying to counterbalance all their misdeeds with charity and stuff like that. But it never bridges that gap. The only thing and the only way that gap is ever bridged for somebody to go from power of darkness to the power of light is through the blood of Christ, which is the only thing that is strong enough. So, because of the fact that everybody's born in that, when Jesus speaks to Paul, he says, all right, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. All right, first of all, when God liberates someone from the power of darkness, it's also for purpose. So it's not he takes someone out of whatever it was that they were in, and if your purpose is done, you got no reason to still be here, and you bring you home. But if you're still here, if you still have breath in your body, that means then that there's a purpose that God has for your life existing now in this world. So part of the pursuit for any follower of Christ, any true follower of Christ, is to understand what that purpose is, and then when you know what that is, then to, with full commitment to that, regardless of the cost, to fulfill that purpose in your time, because you were bought and paid for with a price. So it's a willingness to do that. And see, part of this too is a letting go of, again, what it is that you thought you had or wanted in the world. So it's, again, it's a dying to self. It's a dying to what it is that you hoped or expected or desired for self. That has to be let go, because what happens now is that you exchange that for God's will for your life. Now, the beauty of that is John 10, where Jesus said, look, I came that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So what Jesus actually does in that process is when you let go of what you thought you wanted, what he gives you in exchange is, in following and doing his will, is an amazing life, is an abundant life, is a full life, is an amazing adventure where you learn the reality of God and who he is, and he, and you know him like he knows you, and you start going through life in a relationship with him where you start understanding, wow, he'll never leave me, he'll never forsake me, he'll always be with me. And in that process too, you're living the life that God intended for you, but it came at a cost, and the cost was too to let go of what it is that you thought you wanted in the world in the first place, which incidentally, if you got it, there wouldn't have been a real life. It would have been something that it would have, for a little while maybe, but it wouldn't have satisfied the soul. So there's a lot of people around the world living in big houses with all kinds of trimmings and whatever it is, but they're empty lives. There's no abundance in their lives. There's no fulfillment in their lives. There's nothing in their lives that is worth anything. And that's why, too, so many of them take to drugs and illicit relationships and anything else to try to fill that void. And it's more and more and more and more empty, because that's not the path of life. So the path of life is in the will of God. The path of life is it's an adventure that he takes you on. But part of the work of the Spirit is stripping you of everything that you had or thought before, so that now you can walk in the new mind, which is in Christ Jesus. So you have to be willing to let go of what you thought for that process to happen. Now, in this process, okay, verse 17 says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Okay, so in this one too, when God talks to Paul, he said, look, you also got my protection in this whole thing. And so many times in the ministry that Paul had, you see how God spared him and spared the lives of those that were around him because of the mission that Paul had in sharing and spreading this gospel of truth. We had an experience just this last week where on Friday, throughout the day, God was quickening us to pray and pray for protection and all of that. And then that night itself, while we were, at the whole Colombo Fashion Week thing, that night itself when those planes were shot down, those LTTE planes that were shot down, and that one came and crashed into that building 300 yards away, that was, and actually I've had people write to me too and just say, Govinda, what was going on? Because we were praying for you over here in other countries. Because even in the spirit, brothers and sisters in Christ that are being quickened by God to pray for us, because now God extends that protection to us. Now, if somebody else is around us, hey, you know what? You're blessed because you just were lucky enough to be around the protection of God that's over our lives. So, see, this is why, too, it's for the worlders. If they eliminate the people of God, if they got their wish, they would destroy themselves. And they don't realize that. No, they don't understand that. See, that's why, too, when people persecute the people of God, when they go after the people of God, they don't realize. And it's the spirit of Antichrist in them that causes them and pushes them to do that. But they don't realize that they themselves remove any protection that they would have for them to continue to exist. So if the people of God are out of the way, then they're now in huge trouble. Like, for example, if we were not in that situation that night, because God quickened us to pray several times through that day. If we weren't there, those people would have, that would have been the building that would have got hit. So God put us there in that situation for a reason. And part of that reason was to give also those people more time. Because God's merciful. He gives people time. Because see, this life is just a springboard for eternity. And once people are out of this life, that's it. You know, and you pretty much go on into eternity in the person that you are. That you your free will decision and choice in the kingdom that you're part of. So that's why, like right now, our time here in the world, you have to make it the priority. It has to be the kingdom, and it needs to be, and the choice needs to be for any, is to just get on God's page with everything that you are, because there isn't a lot of time. And to make sure that while you are walking with Him, that basically it's like, all right, Lord, where to? What is it that you want me to do? What is it that, where, which way do we go? And so you go on a journey, but also you realize too that you don't get that last breath again. You know, that one's gone, and and every breath that you take is one less that you have, because appointed unto everyone is a time to die and then the judgment. So we have that window of time, and every moment we're here, it's that much less than what we had before. So we redeem the time, we make it work, we use it effectively. And now the kingdom of this world, though, is working very deliberately. See, when you and I come into God's kingdom and we get activated by the Spirit of God, God also has a reason and a purpose and a ministry for us. We become ambassadors for the kingdom of God. The light of God shines through us. The rivers of living water flow through us into the lives of other people. Now, all of a sudden, we become an incredible threat to the kingdom of darkness, which seeks to keep every soul that's in it to the very end. So now it has to work to try to neutralize you and I. It has to work to try to keep us from ever moving forward in what God has for us. Because if it does that, then what it ends up doing is it ends up keeping that crop of souls, if you would, because generation to generation, what it does is it harvests souls. And so people come through, and then they harvest those souls, and then it just keeps perfecting it for each time. So our responsibility is to align our lives with Christ and basically just to stay on track with Him and to not get caught up in civilian affairs and not get caught up in something. Now, when I say that, it doesn't mean that we don't do work or all that kind of stuff. But whatever we do whatever it is that God allows us to do, quickens us to do. We do it with prayer. So like whenever we would get into any kind of work assignment, it's something that the Spirit of God would open up for us. It's something that we know, okay, this is God leading me to do this. He's doing this with me, so I'll take this on. But it's not me saying, you know, what is it that I can do to save my life in this world? Oh, okay, here's a great six-figure job. Let me take this one. Because that's the difference between those two is huge. And again, on the surface level, to the natural eye, most people wouldn't be able to tell the difference. It just looks like two people taking the same job. But to one person, God's directing them into that. To the other person, that person's doing that out of their own will for self-preservation, and by extension, their family. But they're not doing that in connection with the Spirit of God. So it's constantly a process for us where we are learning to seek the will of God in everything that we do, think, and say. So we're doing that with the work that we do. We do that with the relationships that we have in our lives. We do that with the directions, the choices, the places we go, all of that. And see, this is why too, it's like for us to not hold something in your heart is very important, because when you hold something in your heart, when you're like, okay, this is what I want for myself, that then becomes a snare or a snag. And then that's a place where the devil will try to latch onto you. So for example, if you say, you know, right, say the whole fashion industry, for example, since that's where we were around last week. If somebody says in their heart, you know what, I want to be a model. You know, it's like, but if they're like, that's what they want. Now, if God creates that opportunity for you, and that's what He puts you in, cool, that's His thing. But if somebody says for themselves, this is what I want, me, myself, and I, because, you know, I want to be famous, or I want to be this, or I want people to recognize me, whatever. Now, they've set themselves up. And they've set themselves up now to go down a certain road that, whereas if you're on step with God, in step with God, you know, tomorrow He says, hey, don't go. You're like, okay, I won't go. And then He's like, here, I want you to go do this. Okay, I'll go do that. Now you're free. Now you're not controlled by that system. What you are is you're in step with the Spirit of God, where He'll put you in that, and then tomorrow He'll put you in something else, and then He'll put you in something else. So it keeps changing depending on where the Spirit of God wants you to be. That process also is very exciting, because it's just like, wow, okay, well, what next? Whereas the world, what it does is it needs to find a way to tap into you, and then after tapping into you, to get you to then carry out the plan and purpose that it has. Because what the world is continuing to create on a spiritual level is a very sophisticated soul harvesting system, where from cradle to grave you are on a spiritual level marked, branded, scalped, and then killed off. So, and it does that on a mass scale globally. So, you know, and it happens on all different levels too. It happens on the level of somebody that's a street sweeper, to somebody that's flying in a corporate jet. It's the whole thing is there. But it's the same system, it's the same soul harvesting thing. So what God is doing is He is the only way out. Now, when Jesus, here, go to now Luke chapter 1, and Mark, little brother Luke. Okay. Luke chapter 1. Actually, let's start here. Verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed, speaking of Zechariah, while he executed the priest's office before God in order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and feared, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Okay. Now, all of this happened with John the Baptist, but with Zacharias, or verse 16 again. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the children to fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom and the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So Elijah goes first. So John the Baptist comes in the spirit and power of Elijah. John the Baptist being Elijah. Okay, Elijah comes first. And in that process, what he does is he is preparing that people for the Lord. He's preparing people, getting them ready. And there's a free will decision that people are making in that time to want that. Because now John didn't do any miracles in this whole time. You know, but everything that he said about Christ was true. And he turned people's hearts because the Spirit of the power of God was upon them. People's hearts were turned and they were prepared and they were ready. And when Jesus came through and when he spoke the truth and when he gave them the gospel, and when he showed them the way that there is this other kingdom, and that he created that bridge even through his own body and his blood that was shed. What happened was people now had that ability where they didn't before to choose to go with the kingdom of God, and now the power of God made available to them through the Holy Spirit as well for them to be able to live out and walk out that choice. See, before that, the soul scalping mechanism that was in place was so strong, the spiritual one was so strong, that people couldn't deliver themselves. I mean, nobody can deliver themselves from the power of this world. No person alive, it doesn't matter how strong, how disciplined, whatever it is, can deliver themselves from the soul scalping mechanism of this world. So the way that it's set up, the way that it's designed, nobody can liberate themselves. No one can achieve enlightenment on their own. No one can. It takes the Spirit of God and the power of God to be able to bring somebody from the power of darkness to the power of light, to be able to bring somebody out. But there's a free will decision to go. So for example, like if you're locked in jail and somebody shows up and the power that's in that person can open that door and fling it open and say, hey, it's open, it's free. But you have to make that free will decision to walk out. And if you choose not to walk out, then you end up staying in that thing. So the power of God is there to liberate captives. But people make that free will decision whether or not they want to be set free from that as well. So that's why, too, there's so much of the battle today, again, is for the mind. So much of the battle that takes place right now is for the mind and for the heart. So if you turn on the television, for example, the battle now is for your mind, it's for your thoughts, it's for the reality that you would see and understand and perceive. That's the battle that's put there in front of you. And see, right now, what Lucifer does not want people to understand is the power that they have in Christ Jesus. So if you understood, for example, the authority that you have in Christ, that if there doesn't matter the demon that exists, if a six-year-old girl knows the authority that they have in Christ, she can bind 10 kings and every demon that works with them for decades. You know, if all she's got to do is just speak that word by the power of the Spirit of God, and it's done. As God leads her, yeah, total empowering that's there. So that's, again, incredibly dangerous for the kingdom of this world. So what they do, and what the devil works very hard to do, is to control the mind and the thoughts of those that would choose to walk with God. That's what a lot of what religion does, too. And that's actually the function of the satanic church, the organized church, is that... what it does is it works to keep you from actually ever understanding what you really have in Christ. And what it does, it gives you the form of godliness that denies the power thereof and asks you to conform to the world and the world system and have somebody mediate between you and God, keep you under the law, never allow you to ever hear the voice of God for yourself, and if you ever do, to make you think that you... Yeah, make you think that you're nuts and whatever. And so, but in that whole process, what does it do? It keeps you from ever accessing what you rightfully have as an heir of Christ Jesus, as an heir of the Father living in the world. It keeps you from ever exerting any of the authority or the power that you have. So you go through day to day being beat up, being tormented, being and never really even realizing, wait a second, I don't have to live like this. It's a willful choice, it's a willful decision. See, what people don't understand so often is there's certain things that are just, they're easy with God. Like, for example, provision. If you know the Lord and you're seeking first the kingdom of God, then you know, for example, that for your entire life that He will meet your needs. So for me, for example, because I know the Word of God is true, that Matthew 6, here, let's go there real quick. Because a lot of people stress about this. And a lot of people stress about this because they don't trust God. Okay, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat,
or what you shall drink.
Not yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Okay, let's stop there for a second. All right, the reason that people serve money is because they don't trust God. So when it says that no man can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other. So either you hate God and love money, or you love God and you hate money. You can't both. So it says, because this is Jesus talking. So either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So for example, if somebody holds to money, they despise God. If somebody holds to God, they despise money. Now, money in the hands of a believer, money in the hands of a follower of Christ is a tool. It's a neutral tool that you do whatever it is that the Spirit of God leads you to do with. It's actually a pagan symbol that, you know, is something that, you know, we're, again, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. But you realize what this is, what it is, and what it's about. And for us, it's just a tool that we use as the Spirit of God would quicken us to do. But there will come a point in the not-so-distant future where people will pretty much, you know, even that interaction, because you'll go to a cashless society, and they'll be chipping people. And when they do that whole thing, that basically at that point, it's like, we're not part of that system, we never were in the first place, but at that point it's like a clean, you know, alright, you know, it's going to be an amazing time for the people of God, because in that, when it gets to that point, the power of God that will be manifest in the people of God for their protection and for their provision is going to be amazing. But for the people of the world, they take that because that's the system that their heart and their allegiance is given over to. So, but verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor for your body. So again, all of this stuff is, see, what the world does is it's, and it's freaking out right now. I mean, you check the news and stuff, but Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 7,114 today. So it's like at an all-time, well, not all-time, but it's like at like a 20-year low or something like that. I mean, it hasn't been this low for ages. So basically, a lot of people now freaked out about what they'll eat, what they'll drink, what they'll wear. And they've just seen all of what they invested their last 20 years in the world, just now all of a sudden evaporate, gone. See, that's the thing too. Well, okay, on a practical level, if you look at it, none of us are here. When you leave, you don't take it with you anyways. So exactly, so it doesn't go with you. So all of it right now is used as stuff that really reveals where your heart is, where your allegiance is, where, because when you leave this world, because of the fact you don't take it with you anyways, it's, you know, you but where your attachments are, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So it's like, if your treasure's in this world, then your heart is in the world. If your treasure's in heaven, then your heart's in heaven. So now there is, because we're natural beings, we have natural needs. Because we also have a natural component to who we are. We also have a physical body component to who we are. So God, having made us, knows that and understands that. So He provides means of sustaining and taking care of the natural bodies that we have in His own way. That's His call, His time, His way, and we don't have to worry about that. You know, you just do whatever it is that He puts in front of you to do, and He'll take care of you in that. But going through this, the rest of this thing here, that he talks about the birds, he talks about, he puts, you know, puts this in perspective. Okay, birds, they're not storing up for and hoarding for the next 20 years of survival. But they survive, and they live their full lives. And then also putting a realistic thing in there too, when he talks about you can't have one cubit to his stature. In the world, you know, people worrying about all kinds of things that they have absolutely no control over, and they have absolutely no ability to influence. Or so they, for example, if somebody's like, you know, what cubit to your stature? Now, in old school times, I guess something about this too is like, because the Roman occupation that was taking place and the size of the Jewish people as well, like the Jewish people were considerably shorter than the Romans, so they walked around with a bit of an inferiority complex, a lot of them, because they were, you know, smaller, always looking up to their dominating counterparts from the Romans. So, but basically just saying, okay, look, so, you know, all the worrying in the world is not going to make you a cubit taller. You know, all the worrying in the world is not going to add, you know, that height. So I think cubit is like from the elbow to the hand. So yeah, basically just saying that that's not going to change anything. And that's the situation too. And a lot of stuff that's going on right now in the world is that there's a lot of things that, hey, all the worrying in the world is not going to change any of that. And if you had your perspective right, you wouldn't be worrying in the first place, because if you're grounded in the kingdom of God, if you're grounded in Christ Jesus, then you don't have that worry in the first place, because you know, after you've been through some stuff with Him, hey, wait, He takes care of me. You know? And miraculously. And so he goes on about the lilies of the field, how they don't toil, yet neither do they spin, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So just going through natural examples of the birds, the flowers, and, you know, your own body that you can't change, you know, your height. So basically just saying, hey, look, take some lessons from the natural world around you that God's created and is still functioning, you know, under, I mean, it's still working, it's just fine. And when you start realizing too, you know what, the only people that really jack themselves up is mankind. You know, we're the ones that freak out, hoard, kill each other for, and, you know, and at the end of the day, miserable. And if you have, you're scared about losing it. If you don't have, you're scared about not having. And nobody trusts God in the middle of all this stuff. So right now, even with what's happening in the world, how many people are freaking out because a number on a page changed? No, I mean, it's just a number. You know, they had, in their own mind, they had, you know, $1 million last week in their portfolio, and they had $100,000 Now, because everything's dropped out, it's still just a number. So what? You know, did you eat? Did you have something? Are you okay? Are you? And even then, too, it's like, are you trusting God? So, God's instruction for His people is, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have all, you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Here we go. And all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So, again, you know, what does the kingdom, the divide between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world? The kingdom of this world, they don't seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What they seek first is the kingdom of this world and their own self-exaltation in that kingdom. And on higher levels as well, they bow to the prince of the power of the air, they bow to the God of this world in exchange for position in the world. And to do the bidding of Him, to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, they get promoted in that system. Jesus, on the other hand, says, look, kingdom of God, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the king dominion. Seek first the dominion of the king and His righteousness in your life and in everything that's around you. And basically, the things that you need, He'll take care of that. You don't have to worry about it. He will find a way, somehow, some way. And so many stories in the scriptures of how God does that, where everything from, you know, Elijah at the brook and the ravens coming to feed him and meals being multiplied and food coming down from heaven and water coming out of a rock and fish at the side of the boat when you just toss the net open and there's just a ton of fish in the net. And oil and flour never running out, you know, in the time of a famine, and you know, I mean, just goes on and on and on and on and on of just ways that God took care of His people. Now, in all of those things, to understand a few things: one, that God provides the need when it's needed. So, if you don't need to have a 40-year supply of food on your back right now. All you need is this day your daily bread. And if you get your daily bread every day that you need it, you're fine. If you don't, then you're in trouble. But God promised, hey, I'll take care of it. Just seek first the king dominion. Seek first the dominion of the king in your life, and I'll take care of that rest. And he said, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And I was talking to somebody even earlier today that was just telling me, you know, like their biggest struggle is they're always stuck in the past or always projecting ahead into the future, and they can't focus on where they are right now. And kingdom people are people that are also in I am. You know, God is right now. Right now, this moment, right here, right now. That's where God is. And so for us, one thing that happens is that God is, because He's with us right in this thing right now, you and I have to focus on, again, and this is what the world works on too. The kingdom of the world keeps working to try to get you out of focus of where you are right now in Christ. And it tries to get you focused on either the past, where and stuff that happened in your past, or to get you projecting all ahead in the future and get all out of sorts about stuff that, you know, you don't even know if you'll breathe tomorrow. You know, I mean, with what happened on Saturday or Friday, you know, a lot of people that, you know, very easily, without the protection of God, they may have been making all kinds of plans to travel all over the world and, you know, do this and do that and make clothes and do whatever. They could have all been dead that night. And I think some of them really realized that. I think that for some of them was their wake-up call. And God is meeting them in this time. But Jesus says, look, don't take thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow, for sufficient, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So it's like, you know, what you got to work with today is what you need. And also the problems and the issues that you're facing with today is, you know, you got enough to work with right now. So work with what's right in front of you right now, as the Spirit of God quickens you and allows you. Now, the world has this habit in the kingdom of the world, and the division between... See, okay, the way that the people of Spirit work is, again, we flow with the Spirit of God. And so if God has you to build up some resources, it's usually because there's some spiritual purpose behind it that God quickens you for. So like Solomon building up a resource to build the temple of God, God did that with him. Joseph building up some resource to make provision for everybody because there would be a famine coming up, God did that. But the world, what it does is it just seeks to hoard and to take just for the sake of it. And as much as it possibly can gather unto itself, it continues to take and keep. And whereas, so now it's like it's... And the problem with that system is it seeks to hoard, it seeks to take, it seeks to keep, and then it builds itself up so really top-heavy, and then it just falls over and collapses on itself. So even right now, a lot of the problems that are... They're all self-made. And they're self-made because, again, they weren't seeking God. What they were seeking was their own power and position in the world. And then basically, some of them broke rank and got really greedy and plundered the others. And then the others fell apart, and now it's going to come back and devour the ones that did in the first place. So what's happening right now is a global collapse of the world economic system. But you have yet to see the judgments of God take place. That comes later. So right now is really a window of time for people to get right with God. A window of time when people realize, hey, the illusion that I believed doesn't work. The illusion that I thought is not there. What's life really about? What's the reason I'm really here? And they got that window of time right now to get right with God. And if they have to use it, you know, if God's quickening them, they need to use it, because if they don't, it's not, they don't have a lot more time, because pretty soon things are going to start moving so fast that when they do, you know, you may or may not get the chance. So we, as the people of God here, we're, again, I talked about it a little bit last time, but you're on a rescue mission. And see, what we do is God, on a spiritual level, though in the realm of spirit, there's a huge divide between those that are on the side of light and those that are on the side of, in darkness. On the natural level, we're existing, the wheat and the tares grow together. So as we exist in this place, we have the ability, as ambassadors of Christ, to present the gospel to people, to share the truth with people, to, as the Spirit of God quickens you, to be used by God to make that truth known. And then whenever you speak and it's laced with the Spirit of God, it cuts through and people hear that word. It somehow just gets into their soul and they're like, wow, that and it brings forth the fruit that God wants. But so for us, what we do right now is we carry on that ministry, because again too, before the return of Christ, there's also, again, like with John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1:17, what you see is you see the rise of the spirit of Elijah again as well, because he always goes before. Elijah is always the forerunner. So what happens, but also with Elijah also comes Jezebel. So you have Elijah and Jezebel, John the Baptist and Herodias. And again, now in this time, you have the spirit of Elijah and you'll also then have the same Jezebel spirit rise up too, which is the same matriarch, it's the same spirit that rises. It's like a counterbalancing thing that takes place. So what happens now too is, as the spirit of Elijah rises around the world in the people of God as forerunners for Christ, so will that Jezebel, and so will the Ahabs, you know, which are these milquetoast. Well, you have to go back and read those stories. But part of what we do as forerunners that go before as well with the Spirit of God in us is we also shatter that stronghold and that mind control that are on people. So what we do is we make known the truth. So it's like we challenge the paradigms, we challenge what people are brainwashed into believing. So we challenge religion for what it is. We show it for what it is, that it's just a form of social control. And we then also show people, hey, you know what? There's a better way. There's light, there's truth, there's life, there's peace, there's something else that's available in Christ Jesus. If you're not living an abundant life, why aren't you? What's missing there? You know, if it's there and it's available, don't you want to know it? Don't you want to live it now? You know, why not? Why, if it's available to you in Christ Jesus today, why wouldn't you? And so we challenge that. But you realize too, see, what the world does is the world offers the illusion of a life in the world. So what you do is people sell out to the world, and then they start trying to climb the pyramid, trying to climb the ladder to the top. Because what's sold to them at the top is, hey, corner office, good pay, whatever it is that you want, whatever it is that you think is the byproduct of a plus life in this world. But the people that are up there don't show you that they're the biggest slaves in the first place. None of them are free. None of them, they're all slaving to the system. They're all working to carry out the demonic agenda. So we break that, and we also reveal, hey, you know what? That's totally bunk. What it is for is in the kingdom of God. Now, what we do is we in Christ Jesus, we bow our knee to one person, which is the high priest Christ Jesus. We bow our knee to the Father, and in Christ Jesus and who He is, we are able to boldly come before the throne of grace and to receive directly from the Father our marching orders for this day, our direction for this day. And out of that walk, now we walk out an abundant life, an amazing life here. And God gives ideas, God gives direction. He can, if abundant life for you includes, because God knows what we need, if money's not a big deal. If you need it, He'll give it to you. If you don't need it, hey, don't worry about it. You'll have what you need. So whatever it is, but He's got, but the main thing is that He's in control and that He's the Lord of all. So the challenge is on right now, and basically what's taking place is even right now the world trying to fix itself, all these bailout packages and all this stuff, the world is trying to keep their harvest, their crop, from losing it. Because see, what happens when trauma comes like this is now, and when people lose so much like this and are going through so much pain like this, is they start asking questions, good questions, you know. Some of them are unfair questions because, hey, a man's own ways destroys his own life, yet, you know, his heart rages against the Lord in Proverbs 19. But despite that fact, some people are asking the question, wait a second, what is my life really about? Why am I really here? Everything that I did, it's meaningless right now. So what really does have meaning? So those are good questions. Those are fantastic questions. And when that is brought up, now is the chance and the opportunity for people to really get in step with the Father. So, and that's what the world doesn't want to see happen. So it's trying to piecemeal back together its system because it wants to keep those souls from going that route. So right now what we do is basically we strive to stay in step with the Spirit of God, in connection with Him, and also willful sin is a block, so we strive to keep out of that by the Spirit of God, by the power that He puts in us to do that. But then we stay in step with the Spirit, and then out of that connection with Him, then we make known that you look for the souls that God's reaching right now, and you present that gospel to them, you present that truth to them. We've had several great chances even over these last days just to do that, and there'll be a lot more in the days to come. So we make that known to people, and that's part of the reason why we're still here. So I think time is gone for...